Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 24th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Protests erupt across the country after no murder charges are filed in the death of Breonna Taylor.
President Trump signals the White House and not the FDA could clear an emergency COVID vaccine.
Stocks drop after Fed officials warn more fiscal stimulus is needed.
President Trump refuses to commit to a peaceful transfer of power post-election.
There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
I'm John Tucker. That story is straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, lopsided defeat for the Yankees. Mets lost two. Playoff wins for Miami in the NBA. Tampa Bay in the NHL.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures are falling this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 28, NASDAQ futures down 56, the DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent, CAC in Paris down a third of a percent, and the FTSE 100 down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.66%, the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil down a third of a percent or 13 cents at $39.80 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $12 to $18.56.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1642 against the dollar. The yen 105.36. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Louisville, Kentucky, where protests have erupted after no murder charges were filed in the death of Breonna Taylor. Grand jury chose not to file murder charges against any of the police officers involved in Taylor's death. Instead, a single officer was charged with wanton endangerment for firing into neighboring apartments. The decision sparked peaceful demonstrations in Louisville that later turned violent. Two police officers were shot ahead of a 9 p.m. curfew.
Right there, officer down, right there. Officer down.
Robert Schroeder is chief of police in Louisville.
Both officers are currently undergoing treatment at University Hospital. One is in alert and stable. The other officer is currently undergoing surgery and stable.
Schroeder says the suspect is in custody. There has been strong reaction across the country. Taylor was shot and killed while in her home. Police were executing a no-knock warrant related to drugs that targeted Taylor's boyfriend. No drugs were found. In neighboring Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker condemned the decision.
This is, to put it simply, a gross miscarriage of justice.
Presidential nominee Joe Biden is weighing in, asking demonstrators not to embrace violence.
My heart goes out to Breonna Taylor's mom. The last thing she needs is to see violence in the street. So protest peacefully, no violence.
And President Trump is reacting to the shooting of police, saying on Twitter he was praying for the two wounded officers. He later tweeted in all caps, "Law and order."
More on the unrest coming up, but first, the latest on the push for a coronavirus vaccine. President Trump is signaling he could override any tightening of rules for a vaccine. And here with the latest is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration is expected to issue final guidelines for an emergency use authorization for a vaccine. President Trump says that sounds political.
I'm saying, why would they have to be, you know, adding great length to the process? We want to have people not get sick. The vaccine is very important.
Regulators say they rely on science, not politics, in deciding when a vaccine reaches market. The president claims the rules would have to be approved by the White House and that he may or may not approve them. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meanwhile, the UK is considering its first vaccine studies that would deliberately expose healthy people to the virus. The idea of so-called challenge trials is gaining momentum, and a growing number of volunteers is signing up. This type of study can speed research, but it raises ethical questions about exposing people to a potentially fatal virus.
It's back to Capitol Hill once again for Jay Powell and Stephen Mnuchin. The Fed chairman and Treasury secretary testify this morning before the Senate Banking Committee. Yesterday, stocks closed at a two-month low after Powell and other Fed officials said more stimulus from Congress is critical to sustaining the economic recovery.
The downturn has not fallen equally on all Americans. Those least able to bear the burden have been the most affected. The rise in joblessness has been especially severe for lower-wage workers, for women, and for African Americans and Hispanics.
White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow is pushing back, saying a broad stimulus package is not necessary.
I would say to you, sensible, efficient, targeted measures might be very helpful. I don't think we need another gigantic multi-trillion dollar package.
Kudlow also says the White House will consider executive action to help airlines hit hard by the pandemic.
And we'll get a reading on the outbreak's impact on the labor market today with the release of jobless claims data. Economists say they probably held below 1 million for the fourth week. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports.
Jobless claims are telling us something, but it's hard to completely quantify. The numbers remain enormously high, and there is other evidence that more companies have been shutting down in recent weeks. But some states, notably California, are finding many claims are fraudulent. The state has stopped accepting new claims for the next few weeks while it sorts through its backlog. Wall Street will trade on whether claims are higher or lower than expected, but to understand the economy, it's probably best to consider the direction and magnitude of any change rather than the number itself. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, we're seeing more doubt this morning about a possible TikTok deal. Bloomberg News has learned Attorney General William Barr and other national security officials have not signed off on plans to let Oracle and Walmart take a stake in the company. Sources tell us the officials have unresolved concerns about the national security implications of the proposal.
Expect more market volatility as we get closer to the election. J.P. Morgan Chase says President Trump's election-related tweets are likely to drive a jump in volatility. The bank's analysts created the Volfefe Index, named after the president's Covfefe tweet from 2017, in attempts to gauge the impact of presidential tweets on the Treasury market through interest rate derivatives known as swaptions.
And inside investors are selling stocks at the fastest pace since 2012. Corporate executives and officers at S&P 500 companies were busy unloading shares of their own firms over the last 4 weeks. The selling picked up so much versus buying that a measure of insider velocity tracked by Sundial Capital Research points to the fastest exit from stocks in 8 years. And this is Bloomberg.
That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Time now to check the latest world and national news headlines with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, good morning. President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if a tally of ballots shows Democrat Joe Biden wins the November election. The president was responding to a reporter's question at a White House news conference last night.
Will you commit to making sure that there is a peaceful transfer of power after the election?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
And, I understand that, but people are rioting. Do you commit to making sure that there's a peaceful transfer of power?
We want to have get rid of the ballots, and you'll have a very peaceful. There won't be a transfer, frankly. There'll be a continuation.
Mr. Trump also predicted the U.S. Supreme Court will decide the outcome of the November election and argued the Senate should confirm his nominee to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to break any tie. Demonstrators packing a New York City plaza last night to protest a Kentucky grand jury's decision not to indict any police officers for the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor. Chanting "Say her name, Breonna Taylor," the crowd then started marching in downtown Brooklyn. A new report out of Stanford says massive smoke from wildfires out west may have cost lives. That story in this report from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
Stanford says about 1,200 people and approximately 4,800 additional ER visits, mainly in people 65 years and older. The report also said it isn't known how the combination of smoke during the COVID-19 pandemic affects things. 26 deaths from the fires themselves have been recorded. Air quality here in the Bay Area has been very good almost everywhere for the past couple of days. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Donald Trump's son Eric can't delay until after the November election a deposition sought by New York authorities in a civil fraud investigation of the family business. A New York state justice made the ruling yesterday, adding a significant procedural victory to the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who's leading that probe.
And organizers of the New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square say this year don't bother to show up in person. Well, this year's celebration will be virtually enhanced and scaled back. There will be a limited group of in-person honorees who will be socially distanced. The Thanksgiving Day Parade is a broadcast-only event this year, and the Greenwich Village Halloween Parade has also been canceled. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, lately when the Yankees lose, they really lose. Last night in Buffalo.
The 0-1. Bichette swings and drives the ball to the gap in the left center field. Hicks on the run, reaches out, and it's off his glove, down for a base hit. Jansen is in to score. Biggio is in to score. Two-run double for Bull Bichette. The runs are pouring in. 13-1, Toronto.
Today's radio to call. The Jays would later add Danny Jansen's second home run of the game. It came off the Yanks' third-string catcher, Eric Kratz, who was pitching for the second time in the last few days because the Yanks keep getting pounded. They've lost three of the last four. In those three, they've allowed 35 runs. The Jays won 14-1. Yanks had only four hits. They had four errors, and it looks like they're going to have to play next week's wild card series on the road, maybe in Chicago. The White Sox just lost their fourth in a row. Twins won their fourth straight, so Minnesota now leads the division. The Yanks will play whoever finishes second. Tampa Bay clinched its first AL East title in a decade. Beat the Mets 8-5. Met home runs and defeat from Todd Frazier, Dom Smith, and Andres Jimenez. Celtics and Heat, game four, close all night, but Miami had itself a hero. Tyler Hero is a rookie, only 20 years old. He comes off the Miami bench. He poured in 37 points. The Heat won game four, 112-109, and lead the series 3-1. Stanley Cup final, Tampa Bay over Dallas, 5-2 for a 2-1 lead. Hall of Famer Gale Sayers has died at 77. His Chicago Bears career cut short by injury. When healthy, Sayers, one of the greatest running backs in NFL history. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. We're starting to see a churn in the futures markets. S&P futures are now up a point. Dow futures up 20. NASDAQ futures still lower, but not by quite as much, down 24 points now. 10-year Treasury yield, 0.66%. That's not moving much. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update brought to you by Interactive Brokers Mutual Fund Marketplace. Clients from over 200 countries and territories have access to over 28,000 no-load and 8,000 no-transaction fee funds. Learn more at ibkr.com/funds. European stocks are falling, and we're seeing a little bit of improvement now with U.S. stock index futures. This is after Federal Reserve officials warn that more fiscal stimulus is needed to sustain the economic recovery. The dollar is steady near a two-month high amid a flight to safer assets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures, they've turned higher. They're up more than 3 points. Dow futures also have turned higher, up 42. NASDAQ futures remain lower, down 19. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent now. It's doing better, too. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 2 cents at $39.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.90 at $18.56.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1646 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2765. And the yen, 105.42. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. And protesters took to the streets across the U.S. after a Kentucky grand jury decided not to file murder charges against any of the police officers involved in Breonna Taylor's killing. President Trump has refused to commit to a smooth transfer of power if Joe Biden is shown winning the election. We're going to have to see what happens, he said, once more criticizing mail-in voting. And President Trump plans a health care speech today in North Carolina, outlining how he'd tackle Americans' medical costs. It's an attempt to address a growing election vulnerability. NBA playoffs, the Heat beat the Celtics, and the Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay beat the Stars. Baseball, the Yankees and Mets both lose. The Red Sox and Giants win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we wait for a third and final day of testimony on Capitol Hill from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, this time he is going to make his case for further fiscal support from Congress to the Senate Banking Committee. Head of that, we're joined this morning by Michael McKee, a Bloomberg economics correspondent. Great to have you on with us, Mike. It seems like Fed Chairman Powell really hasn't veered off his message that the economy does need more fiscal support. Do you see that message having any impact on lawmakers right now?
Not at the present time. I was thinking yesterday, Nathan, with all that Powell is doing, people might be getting sick of hearing from him. He's being very cautious, though, up on Capitol Hill, saying we need some additional stimulus, we need some additional help, but he's really tried to stay clear of discussing how it might be done, and he's not talked really about the specific consequences if it's not done, but others on the Fed have been much more aggressive in calling for stimulus out in the country. Loretta Mester, the Cleveland Fed president, says the economy is in a deep hole. Charlie Evans of Chicago, who said that he's worried now that the optimistic view he had of the economy getting back from this all is going to go away because there's no stimulus. And Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren yesterday saying he thinks we're going to see another wave of infections before we see any stimulus from Congress, and that's going to really drive down growth.
Now, with that kind of avalanche of dire warnings from Fed speakers in just the last day or so, does that put St. Louis Fed President James Bullard on the outlier camp? I mean, just a couple of days ago, he was raising questions about whether he sees a need for further stimulus.
It's kind of hard to divine who's where on the spectrum at this point, because he's not the only one. Rich Clarida, the vice chairman of the Fed, was on with us on Bloomberg yesterday, suggesting that things are going better than a lot of people think in terms of the economy. But he didn't stop. That didn't stop him from calling for more stimulus. I think the Fed isn't quite sure where we are, but they do think that something needs to be done. Even Jim Bullard thinks that we need some targeted help to the lower income people who haven't gotten as much assistance as others.
Almost sounds like he's on the camp with White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow, who's been pushing for a more targeted package as well.
Well, the problem is this is a political year, and you've got divisions up on Capitol Hill, not just between Republicans and Democrats, but between Republicans and Republicans. The ones who are really committed to not spending as much have been holding up a larger package.
So where do you see the weekly jobless claims that are going to be coming out in just a couple of hours potentially driving the debate? I mean, do those numbers have any impact at this point? I mean, they've been pretty dire for months now, of course.
Yes, they may have an impact because people are just looking at the raw numbers. We are expecting 840,000, which would be a small drop from the 860,000 we saw last week. Although there is an interesting story gathering here, Nathan, and that is that a lot of states are beginning to realize that maybe they don't have as many claims as they thought, and that there might be a lot of fraud there. People who are claiming benefits but who aren't eligible. The state of California has now paused its unemployment insurance program for a couple of weeks while it investigates all this and deals with its backlogs. So it's very hard to say that we're going to get an accurate number today. But the magnitude of the number itself may be impressive, and that may have some sort of impact on Capitol Hill. But you have to think, if they haven't voted for something now, will they?
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, with that possibility of fraud in California, whether we're going to see some pretty drastic revisions from some of the numbers we've gotten in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we could, although they only revise things usually going back 1 week. The problem here is that nobody has a good answer yet. And, of course, they changed the methodology of how they calculate jobless claims. So we tend to look at the non-seasonally adjusted claims to get a real picture of where the economy is going. And if those aren't accurate, we're going to have a little more trouble with jobless claims. But there are anecdotal reports. Homebase is a company that tracks how many small businesses are open and how many employees are on the job. And they have reported anecdotally that a lot of businesses are starting to close up because they came back to work and found that there are no customers.
And we're going to get that top line number at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, as we do every Thursday morning. It has been a key indicator as we try to make our way out of this pandemic-induced recession. Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee, as always, thank you so much for your insights this morning. S&P futures right now turning higher, but by just a very slim margin, up 2 points. Dow futures are up 27. NASDAQ futures still on the decline. They're down 20 points. 10-year Treasury yield 66 basis points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the time now on Wall Street, 6:25. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mixed following yesterday's sell-off, which saw stocks close at a two-month low. The move lower comes as Fed officials warn that more stimulus from Congress is needed to sustain the economic recovery. One of those officials, Fed Vice Chair Richard Clarida, spoke exclusively to Bloomberg.
We still have a very high rate of unemployment. We have a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that are suffering. And so, yes, additional fiscal support will likely be needed.
We hear more from the Fed again today when Chairman Jay Powell testifies before the Senate Banking Committee.
Well, meantime, President Trump is signaling he could override any tightening of rules for emergency clearance of a coronavirus vaccine.
I'm saying, why would they have to be, you know, adding great length to the process? We want to have people not get sick. The vaccine is very important.
Regulators and drug makers have vowed to adhere to science, not politics, in deciding when a vaccine is ready to reach the market.
We get another reading today on how the pandemic has impacted the economy. Economists say jobless claims probably held below 1 million for the fourth week in a row. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice.
There's been some progress in the wake of the coronavirus, but in advance of today's data, Bloomberg Economics says the recovery is losing momentum and the U.S. needs another round of government aid. The White House and Congress are at an impasse, a stalemate that could persist past the election. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the labor market faces a long road to recovery. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, we are seeing more doubt this morning about a possible TikTok deal. Bloomberg News has learned Attorney General William Barr and other national security officials have not signed off on plans to let Oracle and Walmart take a stake in the company. Sources tell us the officials have unresolved concerns about the national security implications of the proposal.
And it's 6:32 on Wall Street. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 20. NASDAQ futures down 22. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is a little change, down 2 cents at $39.91 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.6%, down $10.50 at $1,857.80 an ounce. The euro this morning at 1.1646 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2761. And the yen is at 105.43. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's John Tucker.
And Nathan, good morning. Protests broke out in cities across the country after Kentucky's attorney general announced no charges in the March police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Two Louisville police officers were shot and injured in the demonstrations. Taylor was shot and killed in her home as officers were serving a no-knock warrant. The only charge filed was against a former police officer for shooting into a neighboring apartment. President Trump won't commit to a peaceful transfer of power. Amy Morris has details in this report from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
During yesterday's White House news conference, the president was asked point blank if he would commit to a peaceful transfer of power if the vote shows Democrat Joe Biden winning the November election.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. You know that I've been complaining very strongly about the ballots, and the ballots are a disaster.
President Trump added, quote, there won't be a transfer, there will be a continuation. The president continues to claim without evidence mail-in voting is susceptible to fraud. Trump campaign lawyers are challenging mail-in voting rules in several states. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Democrats are scrambling in Pennsylvania to reduce the number of mail-in ballots that could be rejected because voters fail to put them in required secrecy envelopes. These mail-in ballots have been dubbed naked ballots. Election officials fear that as many as 10,000 or more could be rejected in November. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled last week that naked ballots could not be counted. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was remembered at the court yesterday in front of grieving family, colleagues, and friends as a prophet for justice who persevered against long odds to become an American icon. Meantime, crowds are growing outside waiting for a chance to pay their respects. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says a recent uptick of coronavirus cases in South Brooklyn and Queens neighborhoods requires urgent action, including stepped-up testing, education, and enforcement. Since the first week of August, the rate of positive tests has climbed to 4.71% at Midwood, Borough Park, and Bensonhurst. Missouri Governor Mike Parson and his wife have announced they've tested positive for the coronavirus. The Republican has inflamed critics by downplaying the risk of reopening schools during the pandemic, resisting calls for a statewide mask mandate, and attending large events without wearing a mask. And California Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered regulators to phase out the internal combustion engine and ban the sale of new gasoline-fueled cars after 2035. Global News 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Luke Voit said after last night's game, the Yankees played like the Bad News Bears. They had four errors, only four hits. They gave up 16 hits. The Blue Jays won 14-1. In the fifth inning, the game was still in reach. The Yanks had the bases loaded, nobody out, and didn't score. And then Toronto put it away with eight runs in the sixth off Luis Sessa and Tyler Lyons. Masahiro Tanaka took the loss. He was hurt by three of those Yankee errors. Tampa Bay clinched the AL East, an 8-5 win over Michael Wacha and the Mets. The Mets in the offseason brought in Wacha and Rick Porcello to bolster the rotation, and together they went 2-10. The Miami Heat, one win from a surprising trip to the NBA Finals. They beat the Celtics 112-109. They lead the series 3-1. 37 points for Miami rookie Tyler Hero, the most points scored by a 20-year-old in an NBA playoff game since Magic Johnson scored 42 40 years ago. Tampa Bay over Dallas 5-2, 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. The Giants Sunday will not face the 49ers starting quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo out with an ankle injury, so it'll be the backup Nick Mullins. An unusual injury suffered last Sunday by Chargers quarterback Tyrod Taylor, a victim of friendly fire. The team doctor was giving him a pregame injection for his cracked rib and mistakenly punctured Taylor's lung. He's not playing this week either. Gale Sayers being remembered as, when healthy, perhaps the most exciting player in NFL history. Sayers died at 77. Sayers was also known for being portrayed in the iconic TV movie of 1971, Brian's Song, about the death of his teammate and best friend on the Bears, Brian Piccolo. John Stashower at Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The debates are coming. I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. We're within a week of the presidential debates. Here's what we know. To begin with, debates rarely have a significant effect on the election outcome. To the extent the events do have an effect, it's probably in solidifying support that was already there. The debate's value lies elsewhere. They are now long-standing rituals of democracy. Slightly odd rituals, there's no particular reason that debating skills would predict a candidate's ability to govern. Still, having the candidates come before the people on equal terms and respond to questions from the independent media isn't so bad as a symbol of democracy. And debates are important because candidates make promises to voters, which they then try to keep if they win, and high-profile promises tend to matter the most. That's why the best debate moderators offer easy questions. What are your plans for the pandemic? What's your China policy? And then step back and let the candidates choose where they want to take the conversation. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Coming up today on the earnings front, Costco Wholesale reports results after the close of trading. We get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Costco may see fiscal fourth quarter sales and earnings growth accelerate from the third quarter as normal store operations, including food courts and optical shops, largely resumed. Bloomberg Intelligence says e-commerce is expected to remain elevated, and ongoing eating-at-home consumption trends should also aid overall sales. Same-store sales could climb 10.2%, double the rate of a year ago. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting earnings of $2.84 a share, up 5% from a year ago, on revenue of more than $52 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thanks. Another story we're watching, J.P. Morgan Chase becoming the latest bank to halt plans to bring workers back to its London offices. Here with more on that is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The UK government is urging people to work from home to stem a surge in virus cases. According to a memo seen by Bloomberg News, the American lender says it will wait on increasing the number of workers returning to UK sites, including Canary Wharf, following government guidance. While some other lenders have encouraged people to return to working from home, JP Morgan said its business units will decide who is needed in the office. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Goldman Sachs economists halved their forecast for U.S. growth in the fourth quarter after deciding there will not be another fiscal stimulus until next year. Researchers now predict the world's largest economy will expand 3% on a quarterly annualized basis. That's down from the 6% they previously anticipated. Futures starting to turn around a bit. S&P futures up 3 points. This is Bloomberg. And it is just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are mixed this morning. European shares declining. This after Federal Reserve officials warn that more fiscal stimulus is needed to sustain the economic recovery. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 1.5 points. Dow futures up 22. NASDAQ futures down 18. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 0.67%. The yield in the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 4 cents at $39.97 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6%. Or $11 at $18.57.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1640 against the dollar. British pound 1.2756 and the yen 105.46. And today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's a Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and at 10, new home sales. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Protests broke out in cities across the country after Kentucky's Attorney General announced no charges at the March police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. Two Louisville police officers were shot and injured in protests. President Trump wouldn't commit to a peaceful transfer of power if a tally of ballots shows Democrat Joe Biden winning the November election. And President Trump also signaled he could veto any tightening of rules for the emergency clearance of a coronavirus vaccine. And he in Bloomberg Sports NBA playoffs, the Heat beat the Celtics, Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay beat the Stars, and baseball, Yankees and Mets both lose, the Red Sox and the Giants win. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Trump planning a major speech today on health care in a trip to North Carolina. President signaling the White House would sign off on any changes to FDA vaccine rules, and President Trump declining to commit to a peaceful transfer of power should he lose the November election. Also making news, new protests over the Breonna Taylor case, potentially bringing the law and order issue back as a campaign issue. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And of course, law and order had been an issue for months following the police killing of George Floyd. Now, how are the campaigns reacting to renewed protests overnight after the decision in the Breonna Taylor case?
Well, I think we're seeing both the Trump campaign and the Biden campaign sort of digging in on the positions that we saw them take earlier this year. I think that Trump is betting, as you pointed out, that his law and order bona fides will help him win re-election. And, that the sort of average suburban voter will be turned off by these protests. I think that for the Biden campaign, it's a bit trickier, but I think that they have really leaned into the idea of providing social justice and sort of talking about the need to combat systemic racism. And I would expect those messages to continue.
Of course, the Supreme Court vacancy had sort of taken pretty much every other issue off the front burner. Does the whole issue of protests, racial unrest, police reform, does that sort of come back to the fore in voters' minds now?
I think it definitely does. And I don't think it's I think it's even more so coming back to the fore in light of, I know it was one question at a press conference, but, what the issue that Trump sort of touched on yesterday when he was asked about whether he could commit to helping to ensure a peaceful transfer of power. And he basically said, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens, and reiterated his skepticism about some of the voting methods, online mail-in voting and other methods that are out there. And so I think that these issues are somewhat interconnected, in that you could see a scenario where there, regardless of the outcome of the election, there could be some kind of civil unrest or protests after the election. And I think it raises some interesting questions about how Trump's going to deal with that.
And some of these questions are being discussed in a story on the Bloomberg Terminal about states that potentially have some vulnerabilities or at least some question marks when it comes to whether there could be a contested election and how that fight could play out. What are we learning?
Well, I think that this is one of the issues. Everyone kind of points back to the 2000 example of Florida. And I think that, what we know now is that this time around we could have, two, three, four, five, six Floridas, because each of these states has their own sort of way of conducting voting and their own rules and can have their own, contested vote outcomes after the election. And so I think that a lot of these battleground states are going to be places to watch, places that have, that could be decided by very close margins. States like Pennsylvania, for instance, is one to watch very closely, because that was decided very narrowly 4 years ago. And it could become, the Florida of 2020.
And Pennsylvania in particular is one of the handful of states where some of the election practices and rules surrounding the election voting are being contested in court. I mean, is this the kind of thing that we could already see some legal machinations playing out well before the election gets underway?
Absolutely. And we know that, in a number of states, North Carolina, elsewhere, that, people are already voting. And so, that's something to keep in mind as well, is that we don't have a system anymore where the election happens just on November 3rd. So all of these machinations that are happening now could potentially have an effect, in terms of people coming out, people staying home, people voting, people not voting. But then also, there are a number of states, a handful of them, where there's already been lawsuits that have been filed. And so we're going to have to see, how this sort of legal morass plays out in the potentially days and weeks after the election. And, it could end up being decisive.
And not just questions about mail-in balloting, which the president has banged the drum over the last several weeks. There could be some further questions about the safety and efficiency of a vaccine, given the president at that news conference last night was saying that the White House potentially could have veto power when it comes to changes in the rules from the FDA.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprising statement, I guess, from the president, or a bit of an eyebrow-raising statement from the president, because, while we know that he's talked about trying to get a vaccine, in October, which, coincidentally or not coincidentally is before Election Day, I think the fear has always been that the White House would try to meddle potentially in the approval process and that could have you know, real health implications for Americans who take the vaccine. And I think that Trump really fanned the flames of those concerns yesterday with his comments.
Is the FDA reacting at all to the president's comments?
Well, we know that the FDA all along has really been kind of doubling down on its independence, sort of internally and externally telling folks that, you know, they are not going to allow the approval process to become politicized, that their employees or officials are going to use all of the standards that have always been in place to review a vaccine, and that they're not going to be subject to any pressure to try to rush something through. But, you know, when the president is standing up and saying that he has veto power, you know, whether that has a objective effect, it certainly influences how people think about things.
About a minute left here. The president is planning a major speech on health care and a signing of executive orders. What are we expecting to hear from the president today?
Well, so the president's going to be back in North Carolina, which is a state that he has been visiting a lot lately. And one that, you know, it's not surprising that he would go there to try to gain some ground on this issue. He talked a few weeks ago about coming up with some kind of an Obamacare alternative. There was a lot of skepticism about whether that was going to be really possible. And it seems like the executive order is going to be the thing that really, you know, potentially does get done before the election, which isn't uncommon, but usually we see sort of smaller bore things happening via executive order rather than legislation.
Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you. As always, you can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT, more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's happening and making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. An asteroid the size of a school bus is headed our way, but NASA says the space rock will zoom safely past Earth today. The newly discovered asteroid will come within 13,000 miles of Earth, well below many of the communications satellites orbiting the planet. Once it's gone, the space rock won't be back to Earth's neighborhood until 2041. Scientists estimate the asteroid is between 15 feet and 30 feet. By asteroid standards, that's considered puny. California just started the clock on a future that a few years ago would have been unthinkable. Dealerships full of nothing but zero emissions cars. Governor Gavin Newsom has ordered regulators to phase out the internal combustion engine and ban the sale of all new gasoline-fueled cars after 2035. With that, California became the first state in America to impose such a prohibition. And the Winklevoss crypto exchange is expanding to Europe. Gemini Trust Company is entering the UK after being granted an electronic money license from that financial conduct authority. The New York-based firm was founded by Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss, who, after claiming Mark Zuckerberg took their idea for a social networking website to start Facebook, moved on to become entrepreneurs in the digital asset industry. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures are up 1.5 points right now. Dow futures up 24, while NASDAQ futures remain lower, down about 21. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.